all of your pride. There's nowhere to hide. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would just do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky, you don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and we're still unbreakable.
What is up, guys? Welcome to the Reborn Podcast. My name is Ashley Horner, and I have a singer-songwriter-artist that is coming on the show today, The Real Nev. I have used his songs on my Instagram for my reels. His stuff is really inspiring. So we're going to bring him on and talk about all of the stuff that he is doing. He is an independent rapper based out of Denver, Colorado. His music is energetic. His lyrics tackle like super deep emotional topics. And Nev's mission is to make music that helps listeners get through tough times. And he has certainly helped me with that. You can find him on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at The Real Nev. And that is N-E-V-V with two V's at the end. All right, Mr. Ian, let's bring you on the Reborn show. All right. Okay. Ian, welcome to the Reborn podcast. I am so happy to have you here on today's show with me. So you have such an interesting background. You are unlike any of the other guests that I've ever had on my podcast show. You are a musician. You have a lot of talent. And so I kind of want to, can you just introduce yourself to the listeners? Give a little bit about, you have a really interesting background, kind of like your upbringing and everything. So yeah. give the listeners just kind of the Cliff Notes version of who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah, well, I'm Ian, or Nev, go by Nev. I'm a hip hop artist, a rapper. I make music about deep topics that I feel like musicians are kind of deterred from or don't want to touch base on. And I feel like that it's given me a little bit of a platform where I'm starting to grow and I'm starting to connect with not only my fan base, but people that hear me for the first time and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Do you find like social media, because you see a lot of these young artists, new artists coming out. That's how I discovered you. Are you finding now that like how social media has changed and how the platforms are going for more like reels and even TikTok, that it's been able to elevate your brand and messaging and your art, everything that you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that TikTok especially is what's kind of put me on the map. Obviously, I'm not like Eminem or NF style where I'm that big yet or anything, but it's definitely put me on a pillar where this is becoming, hopefully in the next, couple months, it'll be a main source of income and a full-time job. And it's just kind of, it exploded. I don't know. After a couple videos hit a couple million, I mean, the fans just start pouring in, streams uh-huh. start going up, and just more opportunities like this one, speaking to you, or just meeting more people, it was overnight. So I can't even imagine what's going to happen as it sure. continues, you know?
Sure. So who was Nev before all of this? What did you do?
Oh, man, I was just a goofy kid. I kind of just bounced around, jobs, from job to job, didn't really know what I wanted to do. I always knew that I was a decent writer. Believe it or not, I wanted to write like movie scripts and stuff like that before touching into music and stuff. So that's kind of where I was at, just this like a goofy tatted kid just trying to find a space, But who knew I had a, voice that would resonate with some people. So it was definitely interesting.
So did
you watch it transition?
Can we talk about your childhood a little bit? Were you around, absolutely. Like, did you grow up with music? Did you have any influences in your like early childhood?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, just what influences did you have as a child that kind of directed your path to where you are today?
I had an uncle. I mean, I'm not really close with him right now. He was in a band, but other than that, it was more just kind of self-found.
Sure.
It was definitely resonated with Eminem, as you probably can tell. Yeah, once I heard him, I was like, oh, damn, I could probably do some shit with this. No, oh, shoot, sorry. And so I was, I don't know, after that, then I just started writing and memorizing lyrics. And then I was like, man, it's something that kind of fascinates me. And then it just kind of came to be what it is today.
So how long ago, like, when did you put your first song out there that you were like, okay, ooh. I like, how did it happen? Did you put your first song out there like through TikTok? Did you just kind of gen up a song, or did you go through, I don't know, how does this work? Like, how did you, when was the first time that you're like, oh, this is my first song, and like, you're hearing it, and like, I want to know about that.
Okay. So I've grown up in Colorado my whole life. Then I moved to Washington when I was about 15. And before I moved, one of my really close friends, she passed away, you know? And so kind of affected me and the friend group pretty hard. And so we were doing stuff that it just wasn't conducive to a healthy lifestyle. So I felt that I needed to go and leave, you know? So when I left, I went to Washington to go live with my dad. And I went to a new school, new friends. I mean, it was just me against just a whole new territory, you know? When I got there, went to school, you know, met some people, got some heartbreaks, you know, all that. And there was a talent show. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to write a song. So I wrote a song. It didn't have a name, but it was about my friend Taylor, who passed away. And I wrote it to the instrumental that Lil Wayne had with when he made that song for Katrina. And it was about her passing, and I don't know, it was really deep. It was extremely long, and the message was great, but it was awful. Like, I had no tempo. I had no, like, I've seen videos arise, you know, from it, I think like a year ago. And I saw an old video of it, and I was like, oh my God, this is brutal.
So, but, wait, how old were you again?
Oh, I would have been a junior or senior in high school when that came out. Yeah, so when it came out, I performed it. There wasn't a dry eye in the stands, so my lack of tempo, the lyrics overcompensated with that at least. So I was like, all right, let's go. So it was really moving. And then so I was like, okay, well, what if I keep trying at this? And then after that, I got recruited. These kids at my school, they started a t-shirt company and threw on this event, and I was one of the kids that were performed. So then all the kids went there, and then after that, I was like, all right, I'm gonna try to actually just release this song. So that those songs developed into this one song called Colorado Degenerate. Oh, so bad, dude. So
is this bad. Song still out there?
God, I hope not, because it is brutal. It's like, I forgot how it went. The hook was like Colorado. I can't even do it. It's cleaning me out. Anyways, but there was no. I recorded it in my room, and I had no engineering skills. But you could just. It sounds like it was recorded just off my phone, and it was so bad. But yeah, that was the first song that ever came out. The first legit song that like people were like, "Hey, it's pretty good." Is called "When I'm Gone." That was dropped in 2018, I think. Something like that. Yeah, so I recorded that at an actual studio, hallelujah. And then ever since then, just trying to be better, trying to pump out all these songs. And,
What inspires you to write? Is it your life experiences? Is it like your hardships? Yeah. What inspires you? What is that?
Ooh, that's a great question. My biggest inspiration comes from, it definitely comes from the heartfelt moments, you know, and definitely the heartbreaks. And that doesn't just mean relationships, but also just like hard times in your life and stuff. So I like to touch base on that more than, you know, the club music and stuff. Cause I feel like, I don't know, there's this misconception that I feel like in all music, but rap especially, where they're like, well, if he doesn't get played at the club, then he's a nobody. Mm-hmm. But it's like, even if you're an avid, like, you go out a lot or you're a club goer, you're alone with yourself more than you go to the club or go out. And so, one, that's just a bigger target audience. But two, it's how many people do you know, like, don't have the capability or the confidence or whatever to voice something that maybe they heard in a song, you know? And I feel like it's art, but it's also like a little bit of a responsibility if I feel that I have that voice. And, you know, as I've gotten bigger and I have these DMs and these people that reach out to me and tell me how affected they are and all this kind of stuff, it's almost becoming like a duty, you know? Yeah. And that's like, I say that very hesitantly because I'm not saying like I have a responsibility, but also
you do. Like I know that. I mean, there's a part of like what keeps me going every single day is because I know people are depending on me for the motivation and the inspiration. And that within itself to me is inspiring to keep going another day. I can assume that it has to be similar, you know, like with music. Like you probably get these DMs. Music literally saves lives. Music has the ability to save people's lives. I think that we don't put, music is everything. Music dates back to like, I don't know if you know all this information, but it's a part of our culture, and music, like it can really move you and it can change your mood. It can, you know, it's really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's especially just like, I always hear artists say that, you know, some of my favorite rappers or just musicians in general talk about how, you know, like the way that they resonate with people. And I always just thought it was kind of like a stereotypical response, you know, when people ask what inspires you or what keeps you going. But then when you're on the flip side of it and you're getting those DMs, even if you're not, you know, Grammy nominated or platinum plaque and all that, it's still just that one DM from somebody you've never met. And it's just, they feel so comfortable enough, or they've never met you, but they will tell you the deepest parts of their lives, all because of a 4-minute song that you wrote. It's just it's a crazy concept to just wrap your head around. And they don't even know my real name, or they don't, you know, some may not even know what I look like, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yet they're so comfortable to share it.
Yeah. Right, because they have such a connection to you, because they feel like what you are able to say through music. This is how I can, I guess, describe it, how I feel on my end. How you are able to the words that you say through the music, it's almost like you're able to put the words together that other people, they're feeling the exact same way, but they do not have the ability to put the words together. And it's like whenever they hear that coming out of an artist's mouth and it's in a song or whatever, it really hits it. And you feel that, like, I think it becomes like really personable because musicians are able to tap into something.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's just been a definite journey, you know, and I sit there and it's just crazy to think about, you know. I don't know who will be affected today, or like and there's negative effects to it as well. Like, you know, that people get upset about it or this isn't right or whatever, just from a standpoint that I have, but I like to focus more on the positive part. Yeah, definitely. I think that's definitely what inspires me and what keeps me going.
What would you say that makes your music different than anybody else's? Like, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, okay, who's this Nev guy? You know, they're talking, like, what is it that you feel or that you know that sets you as an artist different than the other artists?
That's a good question too, because I obviously get compared to Eminem and NF and MGK when he was rapping and all that, because of speeds, tempos, like the topics that I touch on. I think the difference is, and the difference between those rappers as well, they're in a similar category, right? Like style wise.
Sure.
But what makes me different and what makes them different from one another as well is just the story, you know, like it's the story. It's what I write about in my music. It's what I live versus what they've lived versus whatever. And I think that's what makes me different. You know, I like to think so. Cause I may rap fast or, you know, have compound punchlines or, you know, complex rhyme schemes and all this kind of stuff like other lyricists do. But the difference is the story of each one of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's, and to me, that's what makes, that's what separates me a little bit, you know?
Start to finish, how long does it take for you to write a song and to publish it? Is it?
You know what's crazy is I go on spurts. So I watched artists, I watched a G-Eazy clip the other day on TikTok. He's like, he made like 150 songs in a week. Or Lil Wayne was like, I made 80 songs in a night. And that is just
80
not
songs
like,
in a night?
Yeah, it was something crazy. Like, I don't know how they do it, but it was bonkers. But I, to me, I write in spurts. Like, I'll have spurts throughout the years or the months or whatever, where I'll have a month or a couple weeks where, like, I just can't stop thinking, you know? Like, and I'm just here, and I can put my pen, I can put the pen to pad and just make something happen, you know? And then there's lulls where I'll go 2 weeks, 3 weeks without touching, like not even writing a song or whatever, or I don't know. It's just, it's weird for me. It's not like I just hear a word or I'll see something online or I'll see something on the TV and it could be a scene in a movie or a word that I've never really heard before. And then that will just create an idea, which will create like, okay, I gotta get, I gotta start writing, you know? How long it takes honestly depends on how invested I am in the topic of the song and just how invested I am in that moment, right?
Yeah, like, sure.
There's some songs that take, well, like, what's a good example? Like, Fake Smiles took me a week to write.
That was only a week? I feel like that's so, I love that song. That's a great song, Fake Smile. And only a week. So yeah, I want to know, how did that happen? Like, were you just like walking down the street and you're just like, dude, I'm so tired of just all of this like, you know, fake stuff? Or kind of tell me a little bit, we can use that song because the title kind of speaks, you know, within itself. Like, obviously the song is just about like everybody being fake, right? And like not being true to you. And so how did that song kind of come to fruition?
Well, you know, what's crazy is that song was definitely one of the hardest to write because I was angry at the time. And there's some lines in there that I regret putting in there because it was directed at people. But there's some people in my life that think it was just directed at specifically them.
Yeah.
And there were lines in there, and it's a little bit of the backstory. Like, I had a falling out, you know, like, I'm definitely obviously partial to blame. You know, I had a falling out with a friend of mine that was very close. We're good now, you know? But, you know, I had a relationship that failed and I was going through all this kind of stuff. And then I was just hearing the repercussions of when I wasn't there, you know? And it wasn't the fact that I was hearing it and I automatically assumed it was true. It was the fact that I was in such a toxic, like, I was in such a toxic environment that I helped create. Like, I can't not take responsibility for it. Like, I helped create it as well. It's the fact that the things I was hearing, I couldn't just be like, well, I heard it from this person, so it was true, you know, or they heard something about me and this was true. It was just smoke and mirrors, you know, or fake smiles. It was just, it was something that, you know, you would question. It was just mind boggling. And if you spent so much time on focusing on what was said, you drive yourself mad because you didn't know if it's true or not, you know? So I was sitting there and I was like, well, Fake Smiles is a good concept, you know? And I was just, you know, I got this phenomenal beat from one of my producers and it just came out, you know? And it was more, that was the first time I ever wrote a song where I took notes first, you know? Like, I was taking notes and I'd screenshot things that like would just fit that category that was going on in my life right now, like a text thread or a picture or a, you know, most of the time I just hear a beat and I just start writing, you know, but this time I like took notes and cliff notes and it came out to be like my biggest song, you know? So that was a hard song for me to write, but every day I'd write something and then I was like, ah, that's too much, you know, like that's going to piss someone off. And I don't necessarily always write and then be like, well, that's too much. I'll just let it come out. But in this specific scenario, it was hard for me. And I think it took a week versus just a day because I wanted to be clear, but I didn't want to be, like, I wanted to borderline maybe insult, but I didn't want to be insulting. Like, I just wanted it to speak for itself where it's like, who I'm talking about will know what I'm talking about, but it's not so direct that I'm just, like, shitting on that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so And so, and it wasn't just one person. I know they probably think it was. I mean, but there was a good percent where it was. And so I, it was just a, it was a lot of back and forth, and it was a little bit of a self battle. And some songs are like that, you know. Other songs, they just kind of flow where they're fun. And, you know, like Gaslighting took, I think that took like 2 days to write. And that was just because I, you know, I was just trying to push as many punchlines as I could. And like, what could I do with this rhyme scheme? And, you know, what's going to make somebody listen to that song and be like, oh, damn, like that dude can rap, you know, versus Fake Smiles. I want it to mean something. And as I'm glad it did, you know,
yeah,
because it's personal to me. So, but definitely varies. I don't really have a, I can't just, yeah, I'm definitely not Lil Wayne. I can't just like sit there and write a song. You know what I mean? Like, I can't just be like, all right, we're going to do 13 tonight. Like, no way, you know?
How did it make you feel like when you started hearing your own music, like being played and people using your music for like their, you know, their songs and social?
When I see people stitch my music, it blows my mind to this day. And I don't care if it's somebody famous or if it's just a person with two followers. It is just the craziest thing that they felt that they're going to take the time out of their day to like stitch it, do a dance, mouth it, learn the words. Someone DM'd me, their kids singing it. I was, I couldn't believe it. Like it was, I think, I don't think that feeling for me will ever not be surreal.
Yeah.
Cause it's just like, it's just crazy to me. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's hard to fathom. Mm-hmm. And I just think of how second nature it is when I'm not it, like in artist mode and I'm just listening on the radio or songs on my, or I'm just rapping a song that I like and I don't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's surreal when you see the opposite side of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's especially like, oh my gosh, that was me.
Yeah, right. Especially when it's going viral. That's what's even crazier. Like, it's one thing, like, when your buddy's like, I love this song. And you're like, thanks, dude. But you would, like, would you have heard it if you didn't know me?
Sure.
But then when you just see millions, millions of not, like, just the word with the M, just millions of people singing it. I just, it's crazy.
It's so crazy.
I can't even imagine. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's definitely crazy.
So your friend that passed away when you were younger, her name was Taylor.
Yeah.
Do you think, because it seems like, you know, your friend passed away and that was a really hard time in your life and you relocated, you restarted your life.
Yeah.
Do you think that a lot of your writing and music was in a sense like therapy to get you through that?
I think Taylor was a small sliver. I think it was the, it was the straw that broke the camel's back on me relocating, kind of like needing a different, needing a different, oh my God, this is a saying that's so common. Needing a different outlet, Jesus. Like needing a different outlet than what I was doing. And I still struggle with what I do, you know, like I bounce back and forth. Like back then it was, you know, it was drugs, it was alcohol, it was all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, after she died, it was just like I had to get out of that environment, you know, and some call it cowardly, like that's a coward approach to just run away and not face it. But I was 15. I didn't really have a strong head on my shoulders. Anyways, therapeutic, though. Yeah, I think it was, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And, you know, that's came to rest now, you know, and she's just a loving memory now.
Sure.
But it was more family turmoil and things that happened to me when I was little and stuff, you know, that's been more of a deep rooted thing, you know, for me. And I think that music allows me to be therapeutic, to have a self-confidence because of what happened to me when I was younger and like family stuff. You know, I wasn't a confident kid. I wasn't seen in a highlight, and I didn't see myself as a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, the validation is not in other people. It's in my artwork, you know? And that's why when people, you know, shit on me or they don't like my music, it's like, dude, Eminem said it best. It's like, I'm 10 times harder on myself than anyone else will ever be.
And sure.
So true. When he said that, I was like, golly, that's why he's the GOAT. But anyways, but it's true, you know? And so, It also built me up, you know? So I think that is definitely therapeutic for what I've been doing. And I think that's why I focus so heavily on the feeling aspect and a little bit of a darker tone of music.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sure.
And just, you know, club bangers and stuff.
Yeah. So what are you currently working on now? Because you just had Fake Smiles released. Didn't you have another song recently that released?
Yeah, I had a couple after that, like Look at Me Now and Please Don't with DNA Picasso. He's a dope Denver artist that we linked up, and I love his sound, love him as a person. So, you know, definitely worked on some singles and stuff. Right now, I'm working on, I got to drop a couple more singles, but I'm working on an EP.
What's an EP?
EP, so like 4 to 7 songs, you know. I'm working on it. I don't have a name for it. I don't know which direction I want to go with it. I just know that I think it's different. I just want to do something that is a little different than just dropping singles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And got new managers. They're great, you know. My visual director is awesome. And so working on just trying to build the fan base even more than it's already kind of going. And, you know, once we grow the fan base a little bit, then hopefully next year or years to come, like, then that's when the tours happen.
Okay.
The shows start to open up, you know, because everybody keeps, I get a lot of DMs and a lot of people reaching out like, when are you coming to, you know, this place or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, patience, brother. Cause
yeah, it's kind
of, we gotta be able to see that. We gotta be able to sell out the venue. You can't just be the only one there.
Sure.
So,
I don't think that'll happen. I don't think there's going to be just one person there.
Right. Well, hopefully, you know, but you know, we've had shows like that. We've had sold out shows, you know. It's just kind of, it's also timing, obviously, but I just want to get a little bigger. So then we can definitely have that fan base rolling, and I could see, you know, what my work has developed into, you know, like,
sure,
wow, you know, 400 people came to this venue or 1,000 and they all can resonate and sing these songs together.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the goal. That's what I'm working towards. But right now it's just an EP, and, yeah, just working on an EP and trying to bank in all as many fans as I can right now.
So, like, I know you mentioned your artwork, but you also have like actual artwork, correct?
But like,
don't you
like drawings and stuff?
Yeah, don't you do like actual, like, it's called Blood something?
Uh-uh.
No? You don't have like an artwork side?
No, I wish.
Oh,
man.
I thought I saw that you had like artwork. Huh. Okay.
I wish I could draw and stuff.
So it's, man, it's just writing for you. Just the writing, the singing, and performing.
Yep, that's definitely just where my realm is. I'd like to branch out, but I just don't have the patience, man. I am such a, like, I'm fascinated by people that could just sit there and draw all these realistic pictures or paint or do all those kind of things, because I don't got the patience for that, man. Like, I couldn't do it. So I took my hat off.
When you're writing your songs, are you moving and writing? Because I find I'm the most inspired, like, when I'm out running or like when I'm training. Yeah. This is what's crazy. Like, so I typically train by myself. I've been going to a public gym a little bit more often than normal. But in Virginia Beach, where I'm at here, I just have my own private training facility. And so I'm able to, like, you know, really get into it and like really turn the music up. There's nobody around. Oh, yeah. And I find, like, in those moments, that's when I feel the most vulnerable. I'm the most inspired. I am emotional, and like everything, like, even visually speaking, because I'm definitely a visionary. Like, I, you know, I love to create and I love to, like, vision things. It just kind of, like, comes out. So is that the same for you as a writer and an artist? How do you write?
Oh man, I look like a crackhead when I'm writing. I'm pacing either through this apartment or I'm on the side of the road, and you just see me doing this crap, and I just look like I just look like a crackhead. But I'm always on the move. Like, I can't just sit like how I'm sitting and talking to you and just write. There's no freaking way. Like, I have to. Yeah, I'm jumping around. I'm if I'm alone, I'm more vocal. If I'm not, I'm like muttering to myself, and I bet that just makes me look a little weirder. But I used to write, like, in a notebook, for sure. I used to write in a notebook, but now I write on my phone because I always have that, you know, I'm going to carry around a notebook. But yeah, like,
so do you actually text into your phone like that, or are you talking? Are you do like the talk text, no, like memo?
A little of both. I usually just text it though, because I got the beat playing, so I don't want to voice memo and the beat. Yeah,
gotcha.
But yeah, and I always have one. I won't have both AirPods in or headphones. I only have one because I got to hear myself do it. And my problem is like I can't work on the next line or the next, you know, on the next verse until the first one's perfected and I like the sound of how I'm doing it. So it's just very tedious. God, and I'm sure if I just relaxed a little. But
just relaxed a little.
Yeah, you know, but I'm just so high strung and I write the best when I'm cracked out on coffee. So, you know, I'm a caffeine just fanatic.
Ooh,
so.
I'm going to send you some coffee then, because, you know, I have a coffee shop out here in Virginia Beach. I own a coffee whiskey bar.
Oh, let's go. Yeah. If you send me some coffee.
I will send you some coffee. Yeah. I'll have the Ironclad crew send you out a package of some coffee and stuff. It's pretty good.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
be
yeah. So okay. Now we have a lot of fitness people who listen to this podcast. So I have to know, do you have a fitness routine? Are you eating Sonic drive-throughs? Like, what does our diet look like? What does our training regimen look like?
Yeah, so I mean, you can't tell. No, I'm just kidding. All right, how do I say this?
All right, here we go. Here come all of the excuses, guys.
Here we go. I knew you were gonna hit me with this too. So I definitely am. I love fitness. You know, don't get it twisted. Last year was the best year for my fitness career, if you will. Cause I quit drinking for like 6 months, you know, and it was right after Face Smiles actually. Before, I can't remember. On my birthday in November is when I started drinking again. But before that, there was no drinking and I was on a strict meal plan, and I'm an avid CrossFitter, so I love CrossFit. And only problem is I can eat like I have a tapeworm, and for some reason it's just so hard for me to gain weight. Also, on top of that, like, I'm doing CrossFit, but then I'll go run as well because I love to run.
Sure.
I like how you said that's your place where you feel like mental clarity. For me too, you know? So I love running. I do have a regimen. You know, I still go to CrossFit. I got a slap lesion right now. Mm. So slap lesion or whatever, and tear the bicep. So I actually have to get an MRI after this podcast. That's awesome. But I got to love it. So been a little bit out of the fitness, and you know, it's been a little discouraging, but I definitely am. I'm not just some lard on the couch. I love CrossFit. I love that competitive side. And it was funny because at my old CrossFit gym, one of the members found me on TikTok and even like realizing it. Man, you're so humble. Like, you don't even, like, you don't brag and boast about it. And then it was
if I was you, I'd be going into that gym every single morning and turning up all my beats. Like, every morning I would just be like, you guys have to play my music.
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing is like when they told me that, if they played my song in that session, it was pretty funny. I was like, man, you know, they played Buried and they played Face Smiles and Gaslighting. And I was like, yeah, it's just so awkward for me. Like, right. I don't know why.
It's because you're so humble.
I'm trying, man. I mean, obviously I have my cocky moments and stuff.
Of course.
So I'm the most humble person, but I like to think I am. But, you know, I could get on stage and perform it and do no problem. Like,
sure.
It's nothing, or you're telling me to freestyle. Like, I'm going to do it, you know. But when somebody's like, oh, he raps, I'm like, God, just wait till I leave the room. Yeah. I don't know why. I got to get better at that.
Yeah.
Especially because the bigger I get, like, the more known I'm going to be for
sure.
it. So, you know, I got to kind of get over that. But I don't know why I feel like that.
So I know we talked a little bit about, like, you're hoping to go on tour in the next couple of years. But what are some of your other dreams and aspirations as your career continues to develop? Like, what would you say, like, now, like, thinking about, you know, the years coming and, like, everything for you is just growing, like, really fast. Mm-hmm. What would you say, like, if I were to ask you right now, like what would be the top for you? What is
you know
that?
What's crazy? You know what's crazy is that, so, had an ex, tell me, like, at least I went to college and made these comments and stuff. And so just to be successful, that would be cool. Cause like, you know, that's the best revenge.
Sure.
I don't know why I hold on to that. That's just my petty one.
Uh-huh.
But my biggest aspiration is if like I got signed to a big deal or, you know, I went on tour and was making really good money and stuff. My brother's autistic. And so I know my mom stresses a lot about it and, you know, he has a different dad, but his dad as well. So it would just be nice to kind of alleviate some of that pressure and have a, like, if I got my first big check, mm-hmm. be able to just be like, you know, aftercare, because mm-hmm. like, he's younger, you know, so he outlives us or we all go away. Like, no one has to stress that
sure.
who's going to take care of him because something's set aside where he'll sure. be taken care of. So that, and then, you know, my sister just had a kid, so, you know, set that up as well so she doesn't have to stress. So that's the best, isn't that, that's just the, to me, I just get that, the biggest satisfaction where it's like I just not only made this person's day,
mm-hmm.
but I changed their life. You can take care of them. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's, you know, so the petty one would just be like, you know, exes or ex-friends that were like, dude, he sucks, or uh-huh. like, he didn't go to college.
And then you'd be like, look at me now, bitches.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're like, well, I just bought that car in cash.
So yeah, yeah.
You know? No, but, but that's just petty, you know?
Sure.
And I'm not really the one for flashy shit as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it would be more just being able to take care of everyone that's in my inner circle, family, mm-hmm. friends, you know, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's been really awesome, like, getting to know you. Over the last, like, several months, I've really started listening to your music, and I find that it's really inspiring, and you can tell, like, it's raw, and it has a lot of, like, powerful emotion in it. So I just want to say, like, a huge congratulations to how far you have gotten, but I know that this is just the beginning for you, and so
I appreciate that.
I, like, you know, in 6 months or a year, you have to remember that we did this podcast, and so when you ever
yeah.
when you come over to the East Coast, I need yeah. like front row tickets or something. Oh, to one of
for
your shows.
Sure, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, I would love that. Well, yeah. What would you say? Like, you know, I you're definitely an example to somebody who just chases down their dreams. It sounds like, you know, you've given it everything that you've given it, and you've continued to give it everything that you've got. Like, what would you say to these young artists coming on, especially, you know, you have TikTok and you have the Reels and Instagram that are, they're yeah. wanting to, like, they think that they have talent. And they're like, I have no idea how to get signed with a record label or, you know, how to even get yeah. my songs out there. What is really the first step?
Well, the first step that I had is, and I think a lot of artists have as well, is that they just sit. They just let the song sit because they're like, well, it's not perfect yet.
Mm.
Like, you're at, like, the Eminem quote I just said, like,
is
how
your,
he's
your
harder.
Own, yeah, your own worst critic.
Yeah, just drop it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if it sounds like shit because you recorded it in your bathroom or, like, it's not mixed or it's not mastered, then, yeah, fucking obviously do what you got to do
sure.
to get it mixed and mastered and, you know, sound the best quality. But, you know, the biggest thing that I've learned is to be proud of what you put out,
mm-hmm.
even if you get 100 no's, it's that one yes. You know what I'm saying? So just put it out, like, consistently. All, like, always just, you know, and don't, like, try a bunch of different shit. Don't be like, for example, don't be like, Russ dropped a song every week, so I'm going to drop a song every week. And then you see after a year that it's not working and be like, well, fucking, it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that may have worked for Russ, but that's not an exact science,
mm-hmm.
and that try something new. You know what I mean? And it's frustrating. It's definitely discouraging when you have to sit there and think of avenues, especially if you only have an hour a day to work on music because you have a 9-to-5 and you may have a family or you got school or you got something and you just work on music an hour or just some time put aside, because once you start making excuses for, well, I'll work on it tomorrow or the next day, you just fall behind,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it's not about following trends. Obviously, you could try some of the trends, like what I just said, Russ or whatever. But if it doesn't work, you got to try something new,
mm-hmm.
because no one that's made it from known, like, from just underground to Eminem ultra superstar level has ever just been like, oh, I tried one thing and it took off. It's like, how fucking many people did that?
Yeah.
Fucking Bieber? Like, give me a break, you know? And so it just works out for some people more than others. You know what I'm saying? So
Excuse me.
I think these young ones coming up, it's like you dictate that. Mm-hmm. You dictate if you suck, not someone else sucks.
Sure.
You're like, you know, like you tell me that I suck would just be like, well,
I think like the feedback is so quick right now too. Before it'd be like the songs would go out. You'd only hear it on the radio. Like now it's like literally in your face. You can see all the critics or, you know, read all the critics and stuff. So it's really important to like, you know, you gotta shut up the critics. Cause like you said, you as an artist, me as a creator and a visionary, like, we are our own worst critics. So whenever you think of it like that, like there is nobody that's going to criticize me more than myself. Like, and so whenever you look at like these people who like get on you, it's like, it's like, who are they? You know, like, who are they? Like, I know that I'm going to be the hardest on myself. So everybody else's opinions, like they don't even matter.
Yeah. And on top of that, you know, here's the best fucking example that I have, right? My dad is a business dude. This dude is just black and white. Sometimes I think there's wires in the back of his head because he is just so logical, right? There's emotion in him, but it's fucking very far and few to find. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Not saying he's bad. He's just like, he's that analytical type. And I remember that when I first started out, he was encouraging. It wasn't like he was like, don't fucking do this. But it was like, I have a plan B, you know? Mm. And especially when it was someone that I looked up to. And then as it started developing and where it is now, we're like, okay, now we got distribution deals. And now I got management. And now I got my first major feature. And I got all these things that are in the works and in the pipeline. And the money's coming in and all this kind of shit. Now he's like, all right, we'll keep chasing it, you know? You're going to get that regardless if it's bloodlines or if it's just some fucking outsider, you know?
Yeah.
But if it's true to you, like, you got to want it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that, man, not everybody wants that instant gratification, especially in this world, you know? And if you want that instant gratification, you're going to get both sides of it,
sure.
You know? Like, you're going to get the good when it goes viral or you get a repost from somebody that you looked up to, but you're also going to get bad because it's fucking right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So like you're just going to get that, you know?
Sure.
And if you could just put that shit to rest, mm-hmm. it, man, you know, and get the people behind you that are important.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that as your friends, right? Because your friends, I mean that in the sense of what's going to make your dream grow. Like your friends are. But you need, if you're going to get management or you're going to get producers or you're going to do it, make the level more than just business.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not like, you don't got to be best friends with them. But have a connection where it's like there's so, the open communication is just so raw.
Sure.
You know, that it's one less thing to stress about.
Sure.
And that stuff takes time, you know? And so you just put the music out. Fucking don't ask people for what they think about it. Like, let that shit speak for themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got to do.
It's just like what you were saying, you don't need validation from anybody. So you just got to drop it.
Exactly. Because if you needed validation, then you're just, it's not, you're going to crumble.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? It's like the people, like, for example, like the Instagram model girl that looks for the Insta or guy that looks for the fucking validation from how many likes. It's like, okay, well, if one gets 40,000 or 40 million or whatever, and then the other one gets 20, they're still fire pictures, man. Like, it just didn't hit, you know? Like,
sure.
Shit.
Yeah.
So if you find validation in different things, like you challenge yourself and you wrote a hook where it's like, this time I'm going to try to be more melodic, or I'm going to try to hit this note, or I'm going to try to touch this topic, you're going to find growth and you have longevity in your career versus if you're just chasing trends and validation. Mm-hmm. It's fact. It's not even, you know.
Yeah, I love that. Well, dude, hey, thank you like so much for coming on today. Are you traveling or like going anywhere? Like, do you have any shows or anything coming up? Or like, where can people, what's your Instagram? Where can people follow you? Where can they buy your music? All of that.
Yeah, so I go by Nev, so I'm on all platforms. So you can subscribe on YouTube. Instagram is The Real Nev. Instagram's The Real Nev. TikTok, The Real Nev. And just, you can find me as Just Nev on Spotify.
And it's N-E-V-V.
Yeah, two V's.
Yeah.
That's right.
N-E-V-V.
But yeah, you can't miss it.
Well, thanks, dude. You're a very cool cat, and it's really inspiring everything that you're doing. So it's really cool to make the connection, and definitely stay in touch. I'm going to be watching your journey and following close, and I'm always cheering for you. So keep
absolutely.
Keep
thanks
hammering.
For having me on. Yeah, thanks for having me on this. You know, on this podcast.
Yeah.
And thanks for reaching out. I really appreciate it. And definitely send me that coffee.
I will. All for right. Sure. Awesome. I'll send you a couple bags. I'll keep you stocked up.
Let's go. Let's go. Thank you so much. That'd be great.
All right, Nev. You have a great night. Good luck with your MRI, your scan there. Hopefully everything is good with your shoulder. Yeah.
God, I know at this point, just cut it off.
God. Don't do that. You need your arm.
You're right.
All right.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
All righty. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, take it easy.
Bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's Reborn podcast with the Ironclad Network crew. It has been so awesome sitting down and talking to Nev, and I hope you guys were inspired. Make this a reminder to never stop chasing down your dreams, and that anything is truly possible if you want it bad enough. So keep working, keep hustling, give it all your heart, everything you got, and I will catch you guys next week. Thanks again for listening to the Reborn podcast with the Ironclad Network. I'll catch you guys soon. Bye. What would you decide when it's on the line? Would you do or die? Would you compromise? Or would you stand through the storm and roll with the tide? Would you be the one to fight or the one to hide? You can never touch the sky if you don't try to fly. Rocky roads, but we stayed unshakable. Been through it all and we still unbreakable.